hopefully you got started well in reading using your daily discipleship guide, as it's now called, instead of your Sunday school quarterly. Some really good little insights from each day's reading and the passages that you read. I've chosen this morning Psalm 8. I love the Psalms. The Psalms are so expressive of how we feel and how the author felt and how they thinking came together. One of the Dr. Blaylock from Australia, New Zealand, scholar of days gone by. One of the things that he said about the Psalms is that they very often come to life in a particular moment of our lives as we're reading them. You know, sometimes you read and it's good and okay, but sometimes you read and it just really grabs you. Just really meets the need. This eighth psalm gives expression to a couple of ideas that if you're not really, you know, you read it and it's a wonderful expressive psalm of God, of what God is and who God is and what He has done. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. You have set Your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants You have established strength, the cause of Your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at Your heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars, which You have set in place, what is man that You are mindful of him, and the son of man that You care for him? Yet You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of Your hands, and You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. Wow. I'm going to utilize Warren Wiersbe's outline and discussion somewhat of this particular chapter because it just grabbed me when I read it. He said this is the story of three kings. And hopefully it will remind you to remember this psalm in the future. The first king, interestingly enough, is you and me. God created us in His image. If you'll recall in your study from God's Word last Sunday, you talked about the creation and you talk about man and how he was created in the image of God. Now, just think of that for a moment. Think of what that signifies. You know, when it says in verse 5, you have been made a little lower than the heavenly being, the actual word there in the Hebrew is Elohim. And Elohim is a name of God. It's the name we find back over in Genesis at the creation of man. When it says there in the sixth chapter, first chapter, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. You notice the plurality of that expression? That's because Elohim is a plural, meaning more than one. Now, not more than one God, but one God represented in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. let them have dominion over. What other thing is dominion representative of than that of a king and his kingdom? You have dominion over. Now, let that sink in a little bit, if you will. We were created to be kings and queens. You ever thought about that? We were created to be kings and queens. We were to have dominion. We were to reign and oversee God's creation, everything that He had created. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. Verse 27, in the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. We were supposed to have been kings and queens to rule over everything that God created. But somehow, some way, under the guidance of God, we thought we didn't need Him. Somehow, maybe we could do a better job ourselves. And so the rebellion. And we lost our domain. We lost control of our domain. We surrendered it, if you will, to Satan and his demonic forces, and he has been wreaking havoc ever since. We done, there's no better way to say it or other way to say it, we done a poor job, folks. We just messed it all up. In spite of our best efforts sometimes, you know, I saw an article online related to the storms, and men have thought of trying to use various devices that somehow they could stop a hurricane. They found out it wouldn't work. God is the God of all the elements, all of creation that He created. And again, we surrendered our privilege of being king of that domain. The second king is King Jesus. Back to verse 4, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you care for him? In that, some see a prediction of the Messiah. We are man, but he has been noted as the Son of Man. It was a title that he indeed utilized himself in his teachings, in his discussions, in identifying himself to those around him. He was the Son of Man. And when that Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came into our world, he took care of the issue. He won back the kingship on our behalf. He took under his control by going to the cross and paying for our sins. Now, I know and you know that we haven't seen that so fully demonstrated, but he's coming back. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And he will have the dominion once again to rule, and we get to rule beside him. Those that have been redeemed by his grace will stand with him and rule alongside him. And we'll once again be restored to the place that we were to have had. And Jesus went to the cross. He was crowned with glory and honor. Verse 5. You have made him a little lower. Notice that you have made him, not them, but him, singular, a little lower than the heavenly being, and crowned him with glory and honor. I know we haven't been the recipients of that glory and honor, but Jesus Christ has. And again, he will come back. He will reign forever and ever. And he will have the dominion over the works of your hands and will put all things under his feet. The Hebrew writer took this up. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Where he quotes this very passage. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. The Hebrew writer noted that this psalm spoke eloquently of what Jesus Christ did by coming into our world, setting aside the riches of glory, all of those privileges, to come and put on human flesh. And he will be King of kings and Lord of lords. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The last king we look at, after having looked at King Man, who failed miserably, and King Jesus, who succeeded fully, we look at King David, the author of this particular psalm. There's a lot of speculation about what the event was that may have prompted this psalm. Many suggest that perhaps it came as a result of David at the evening hour looking up as he's caring for his father's sheep and seeing the wonder and the majesty of all of the creation. You know, it's kind of sad. You have to go to some very rural places in order to see the stars anymore, because we have filled our world with so much artificial light that we sometimes do not see all the wonder that is out there from the creative order. The millions and billions of stars that God has placed throughout this universe. And yet, there is this very significant place in all this universe that God pays particular attention to. And that's this earth. Because you see, he placed upon this earth you and me, and he loves us so. And David, whether it was that event or, as some suggest from the little title that you may note in your psalm, Gittith, it seems to be taken from a Philistine relationship. And so some have speculated that this psalm is the result of King David's encounter with Goliath. Now you may think, well, how in the world does that connect? Well, when David has encountered Goliath, he has been anointed by Samuel for the throne, but he has not yet assumed the kingship because Saul is still upon the throne. And so when he encounters Goliath, He comes, as he says, in the name of the Lord, and that you, sir, have defiled the holy God of Israel. And the indication is that when David was anointed, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he didn't go out and fight in his physical strength. Remember that account that tells us that, well, Saul reluctantly said, okay, you can go, here's my armor. And David tries on his armor. And you'll remember, Saul was a large man. We were told when he was selected as king that he was head and shoulders above everybody else. David, no doubt, was not much more than perhaps a teenager. So when David walks down to that little creek bed and pulls up some stones, and he approaches Goliath, who no doubt is hilariously just dying laughing. Who are you to come and face me? I will make you bird food before the hour is over. David's response is, you have defied God, the living God of Israel, and I come to you in His power. And around that sling goes, and the stone embeds itself right in the forehead, knocking Goliath, who's about 10 foot tall, down on the ground. At the very least, knocking him out. But of course, when David got to where Goliath was laying, he took Goliath's own sword and separated his head from his body. And the Philistines left. David was empowered by God to be able, in that moment before he even assumes the throne, to have authority over God's enemy. Here we are, we're living life today, but we know we can't live the life that pleases God apart from His Holy Spirit. That's the only way the Christian life can be lived, is God's indwelling Holy Spirit in us, anointing us for the work that He has for us, guiding us in our daily path so that we might be all that He wants us to be. And we might declare with David, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for reminding us in the creative order of things as You intended we were to be kings. And yet we made the choices that led us down a different road, apart from You, with our own ideas and our own thinking. And primarily we've managed to muck it up real good. But then You sent Your Son, our Savior Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for fulfilling the purposes that purchased our redemption. And then we remember David, how he honored You by following after You, man after God's own heart, because his willingness to be led by the Spirit. Father, this day, we declare with David, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. Thank You. Amen.